Hey, and welcome to episode 49 of Let's Talk with Scoggs. 49 conversations that have left me feeling really excited about life. Today's guest is Erica Campbell. She works for Consequence of Sound, but her writing is sprinkled across all of the internet. She does artist interviews. She writes essays. So she's got an incredible voice and narrative, and someone that you should definitely check out. We talk about her perspective and how she's cultivated kind of her place in all of this that is media and writing and journalism, especially given that the music industry is fickle and fluctuates and changes every 2 seconds, it feels like. We talk about our favorite albums of 2019, her first concert. So we really get into kind of her background, where she's at now, what she's thinking, and, you know, what makes her different from other writers, which is always important to establish your voice, and she's done just that. She covers all sorts of stuff, film, pop culture. So if you're looking for a good read, you can check out her stuff. And we also give some advice on planning a vacation, which it seems like it would be easy to do, to plan how you're going to spend your time away from work. But there's a lot of options. So she gives some great advice about that. So without further ado, here's episode 49 with Erica Campbell. Enjoy. Erica?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. This is Sarah, and I'm super excited to chat with you today.
Awesome. I'm excited to chat with you, too.
Cool.
How's your day going so far?
It's good. I had another recording this morning.
Cool.
And then I snuggled with my dog for about 30 minutes.
Oh, good.
And now I'm chatting with you. Are you calling from New York?
I am. I am calling from beautiful, chilly New York City.
Yeah, I grew up on the East Coast, so I'm familiar with what this time of year can bring weather-wise. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No worries. It's nice and warm here. I was actually in Florida yesterday, so I honestly can't complain. I'm like kind of enjoying it.
Okay, cool. How long have you lived in New York?
I just moved here a year ago, so not very long.
How's it going?
Not very long. I love it here. I can imagine like making like decisions to live in different areas of the city, but I can't imagine living anywhere else. Like, I think this is a good place to have a home base. I travel a lot too, so I don't ever feel like one place is like the place I have to be at all the time. But if I were choosing a place, I would choose New York. So
great.
That's how I feel at this point. Yeah. It's good to like where you are.
Yeah. And before New York, where were you before New York?
I was in Atlanta, Georgia. So I was in Atlanta from 2011 to last year.
Wow. That's a big move.
Yeah, it was a big move, but it was a good decision. It worked out really well. So,
yeah. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in, I was born in North Carolina, and I grew up in South Carolina, in a city called Beaufort, or I guess a town, maybe I shouldn't call it a city, in between Charleston and Savannah.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you've lived quite a few different places that are very different characteristics.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in the South mostly, and Atlanta's definitely a very southern city, right? Because everyone there is basically from around, like, the three states surrounding it. Like, that's, like, the hub that you go to. Mm-hmm. But it's also very much a bubble, so it's not like its surrounding counterparts. It's very liberal in comparison. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. It was, like slowly getting to bigger cities. Like, I grew up in Beaufort, and then Savannah was like my go-to city that I would go to and visit. And then it became Atlanta, and now it's New York. And I feel like each of those cities kind of have something about them that draws you to the next bigger one. It's like a weird training session to get to the next level.
Yeah. Cool. And the diversity that you get in New York is unlike anything else, I think.
Yeah. I was just thinking about that today, and I was walking my dog to the actual dog coffee shop that's down the street where I can like take him inside and get coffee.
Cute.
And I'm just like standing outside and looking at everyone that's there. And it's like, there's so much to take in and there's so much to be inspired by. I just like, you walk down the street and you see someone wearing something, or you hear someone having a conversation, or it's just completely covered in inspiration for things. And as someone that writes and reports and asks people, like, likes to ask questions, it's like, I can't imagine being more inspired than just like living in New York City.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you found a place that inspires you, because I think to your point, as a writer, that's incredibly important to keeping your mind active and your curiosity alive.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. So when did you start writing? Like, when did that transform from a hobby into something that you thought you wanted to make into a career path?
That's a good question. I've been writing for as long as I can remember, like since I remember being super tiny, and I would take the printer paper at my parents', like out of my parents' printer, and I would staple the edges together, and then I would make fake magazines, and then I would force my cousins into doing plays with me where I was, of course, the main character, and they were in some role that was not fun for them, but that I was forcing them into, and I was, you know, writing different play pieces. Me and my sisters used to do, and it's so funny now that I think about it, like, we had our dolls, and they would play out scenes, but we would record them on like a tape recorder. So it was kind of like a weird podcast kind of situation where we were like you could tune in to like this radio show that was me like and our like dolls like playing out different scenes. I don't know. But there was always some sort of writing happening, and I've always been in creative writing classes.
Mm-hmm.
But I never thought it was like something that you could do for a living, because I did it all the time.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't, why would somebody pay me to, you know, breathe? I was always going to do that anyways. And then I just remember I was reading a lot of reading of like very fun, like new age self-helpy books. And I was like, what do I want to do with my life? I was working at a tech company in marketing. I'd been working at an engineering firm before that. And as part of my job, I did proposals.
Mm.
So let's say like a neighborhood wants a park or a building, I would basically write down like why we were qualified for them to take it. So it was very different than the writing I do now, but it was also writing. Like, there was always some writing around in some capacity. And I was reading a lot of books about, specifically a book called The Desire Map that was asking, like, what would you do with your time if, like, what do you already do with your time? And I was very much clearly, like, writing for myself because I liked writing, or researching bands and going to live shows and going to festivals. So it was always kind of there in the background of like, that is something that I would do, but I never looked at it as something that I could make into like a, you know, a real career, because it just felt like what I was already doing.
Mm-hmm.
So then, I don't know if you heard this part, but I mentioned like, my sister got me a press pass to go see this College of Panic at the Disco.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote about it so that I could have the press pass. And, I think like a few months later or like a year later, I wanted to go see the Killers play this show, and I didn't have the budget to see them. And so I remembered that I'd done it before by like writing about it. I was like, oh, I could get in if I just write about it. So I made a website and really quickly like pitched a publication of like, I can cover this festival for you. And like in what, 3 days, made it all come together and ended up driving to Cincinnati to cover this festival. And while I was there, I interviewed this band called the Mowglis on a whim, because they were like, do you want to do an interview? And I never interviewed artists before, but I was like, sure, I'll do it. And when I got home and listened back to the interview, I was just like, that is exactly what I want to do forever. Like, talking to people about what they're passionate about. I'd never been happier than being able to do that. So I just started figuring out more ways to do it. And one opportunity led to another opportunity, which led to another opportunity. And it, in a strange way, like, I think that was what, 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago at this point, and I haven't stopped doing it, and it's worked out so, you know, well so far. So I'm going to keep doing that.
Awesome. And today you're writing for A Consequence of Sound.
Yeah, I do music editing for them and video hosting and festival coverage. And I work with a lot of freelancers, which I really love doing. Kind of working with them to build their stories and figure out where they should go and when we should publish them. So that's really enjoyable too.
Cool. How would you describe your relationship with your readers?
That's a great question. Relationship with my readers. I have to say that it's an interesting one, because I do care about the people reading my stories, but I think that I more so care that I'm telling like the story that I need to be honest about.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't ever want to get so tied up in like what people think that I forget like the reason that I'm writing the story or telling the story in the first place. I definitely like, if I'm interviewing an artist, I'm going to look and see like, I do this thing where I'll like look at their social channels and see like what their fans are interested in, because I think those are people that are more likely to read the story. So when you're looking at questions, it's good to have that mindset. And I come from a marketing background, so I'm always kind of cognizant of like what's going to actually show up when people search for a story, because I want people to read it, but not ever in a way where it takes away from like the core of the story and the reason that I'm telling it. I've been very sort of blessed to be able to tell stories that I find interesting as opposed to stories that, you know, I have to tell. Mm-hmm. So hopefully people resonate with those stories. So far they have, and I've been lucky enough to have people tell me that they appreciate a story or they read a story and they thought it was interesting. But I kind of care about every aspect of that, whether it's the artist that I'm talking to and making sure I share their story and make, you know, that sure it's authentic and true and that people enjoy it. But I think the main focus is always going to be on like what the point of the story is. Why am I telling it? What makes it important? Why is it worth sharing?
Yeah, that sounds good. What about, where do you see yourself fitting in? Cause there's countless blogs and outlets and, you know, there's a million different places you can get different perspectives. So where do you see your special voice fitting in into this giant void of the internet and all these different things? Like, what
it's
do you
so
think?
So noisy, yeah.
There's a lot.
There are a lot of voices.
Yeah.
There are a lot of voices. That's such a good question. I think you have to just be, I've been really lucky to have really good mentors, you know. I've had people look me in the eyes that have been successful in the field that I want to be successful in and tell me, like, you have to speak from your own voice, because if you try to replicate somebody else's voice, like, you're not going to be heard. Like, it's, like, what about you makes the story interesting? And I think especially if you're talking about, like, op-eds or essays, it's, like, bringing your own perspective. Like, I love rock music. Like, that's what I've always listened to since I was a little girl. And being a Black woman, I'm not like the majority of who writes about and talks about that topic. But I don't shy away from it because it's like, oh, this is a club that you're not allowed to get into. But I talk about it authentically from my perspective, you know, like it's going to be from my lens, and I make sure to add my own voice to the story, because if not, then it's just another story that you could read anywhere else. You know, it's like, why is this story important to me specifically? Why is it specifically important from how I experience the world? And the easy thing is I only know the world from my experience, but other people don't. So when you're in a situation where everybody else kind of has the shared experience of like being from the same background and growing up the same way, and you don't have that experience, it kind of comes out in your writing. And I think it allows you to stand out among other voices when everyone's kind of talking about the same things.
Right.
If that makes sense.
And for anyone listening that's just, you know, hearing your story and might be interested in reading some of your pieces, does anything come to mind where you think that your perspective is really, like you think it's unique and it's a good starting off point for someone to understand your writing and something that you were really proud of?
Yeah. There are a few articles that I'm really, sounds weird to talk about. I'm very proud of these pieces that I wrote.
Oh, you should be.
And we're like,
you should
but
be.
Yeah, there's a, my favorite piece I've ever written was an interview I did with Pamela DeBar for Playboy. And she is the, hashtag world's most famous groupie. And she comes from this perspective of like people kind of looking down on her and giving her this title of groupie, like, and in all reality, she's just like, she really knows music really well. And she was, you know, she's a seamstress and she understands when a band's going to be big. And she was this huge part of this, era in the, you know, in the '70s where all these bands were coming out and where rock music was really in its heyday. And she had such an impact on it. But I think most people look at the perspective of her just being like a groupie. Mm-hmm. And it was nice to highlight her story and kind of talk about like what that balance is of what other people think of you as opposed to what you think of yourself, and not really caring about labels. I think in general, being a woman in the music industry is an interesting place to be in, because people might look at you like you're not supposed to be in the room, or they question your behavior, or they question like what your end goals are. And so kind of shining a light on women in general and being like, you can kind of embody what you want to embody and be yourself fully and not feel like you have to be a certain way to be successful. I think that that's an interesting storyline. There's another article I wrote for Vinyl Me Please that was about some women bloggers that were writing in like the early aughts. So when like bands like The Strokes and The White Stripes and The Killers were coming out, they were writing about these bands pretty early on, and they weren't doing it in a way to monetize it. And that kind of thread came out where I was talking to them, at least four of them, and interviewing them about this period of time. And it came, kind of became like a little bit of an oral history. But what you started to notice as the story went on was that a lot of them aren't working in music anymore, when their male counterparts who were doing the same things, who were covering these shows and taking these photos and getting their stories picked up in, you know, bigger publications like NME, were getting, you know, they ended up starting their own online publications, or they ended up working in the music industry to this day. And they kind of didn't look at it that way, because I think as a lot of the times when we look at women writing about certain topics, we look at them as fans, like, oh, this is a fan talking about this. This is a blog post, as opposed to like, this is an article written by an expert. And these women are subject matter experts. Like, they know the bands and the music because they are fans, but that doesn't take away from the fact that they know exactly what they're talking about and should be given credit for that. And that, like, I don't think there's any more evidence than the fact that their stories were being kind of stolen and picked up by publications who were, you know, using them to break news, but they weren't really given as much credit as their male counterparts in some of the situations. So yeah, I think talking about women in general is always something that I care about, and working with young women writers and being able to tell their stories is really great. Like, a few weeks ago, we published a story on Consequences Found from this girl. It was about The Clash, and it was about how she grew up in Japan, and their music really resonated with her, you know, despite her being from a completely different world than they were from, and why it impacted her, and what she, you know, what her perspective was, and what about her upbringing kind of aligned with this rebellious idea of their music. Because I think we talk about a lot of artists, but we forget that there's people have fans from all different types of backgrounds, and all different types of upbringings, and that's that unique perspective where you can tell that same story or talk about that same topic in a way that's going to break through the noise, because you're not telling it the same way. That's usually what draws me to a story, and those are the stories that I get the most excited about telling.
Yeah. In those conversations with, you know, women who have come before you and have been in the industry and sort of started to pave a path for the rest of us, are there any things that they said they had to overcome or deal with that you still identify with as being a problem today?
Oh, yeah. 100%. I think there's this silly idea, just baseline, of just like being taken seriously. And it's, and I don't ever look at it as like a deterrent. Like, I'm not going to like not write about rock music because I might not always feel like I'm being invited into the room. I think I can just walk in there. I think that that's important. I think that there's this idea of not being treated with the same amount of respect or paid as well, or talked about in the same way. That's been there. That's still there. But I also think that it's shifting because of the fact that there are so many women that have written in a way where they've kind of paved the way, or they're giving advice and they're not, you know, hoarding it and not sharing it. And I hope that I get to be a part of that and sharing that information and saying, like, these are things that you can do. I remember when I first wanted to be a freelance writer, like, I didn't even know how to pitch. And I had to ask, like, people that were willing to be like, hey, this is how you write a pitch. This is the person at this publication that you could write to, you know, pitch your story, and kind of sharing them information. I think that, and I hate to call it a boys club, but I think if you look at it that way and everyone in that club has that information, but they're not willing to share it, you kind of have to, you know, figure out ways to get it. And I'm lucky enough that there are women that are willing to share that information with me. And I'm definitely the same way when it's like paying it forward to younger writers. And I'm also lucky that there are lots of, you know, people that are in the industry that aren't women that are still willing to be like, oh my gosh, I like your writing. How can I help you cover this story? How can I help you get connected to the person you need to get connected to interview this artist? So I think it's, there's been a lot of work that has happened before I even started writing, which is great. And I'm just completely aware of it in a way of wanting to pay it forward. But yeah, there's ongoing issues, I think, in general with the music industry. But if you choose to be a part of it, I think you you navigate it, you're aware of it, and you do what you can to move forward and be successful.
And in terms of, you know, the music industry and cultivating your own voice and all that sort of stuff, where you are today, when you first got going, like, are you on the path that you thought you would be on, or have you sort of adapted as you've gone along?
I think I've definitely adapted. I when I first started, I just wanted to go see music and write about it. I wasn't like, I need to be a music editor. I wasn't thinking I need to host panels. I need to, you know, host video interviews. I was just kind of chasing that, the feeling and the desire to share the story that I wanted to share and to be a voice in a place where I wanted to be part of the conversation. And I think that that's probably the best way to do it, because it leads to like the next thing and the next thing. I knew that I wanted to do something with music, and I had a lot of people telling me that it would be hard and that it would be impossible, and that I was a little crazy to be like, I'm going to move to New York and work in the music industry, especially in journalism. But I was a little indignant about it, and I pushed it and I made it happen. And I think that being flexible, especially right now when the landscape is completely changing every 5 seconds, and knowing like, okay, this is a great story, but can I tell it through video? This is a great story, but how do I add it to social media? This is a great story, but maybe it should be in a podcast as opposed to a long form article. Being flexible and moving, and just knowing that things are going to change. And if you don't change with them, then you're probably going to get left behind. Could sound like a daunting thing, but it could also be pretty comforting if you're, you know, excited about change and you want to be successful.
Right. I totally agree with you on that. Okay. So can I pick your brain about music? Cause I also love music. What have you been listening to this year? The year is, coming to an end. So what have been your favorites?
What have been my favorites? That is something that has been very top of mind all month long as we come up with our end of decade list. I really have been loving Billie Eilish, and I know that's an easy answer, but kudos to her. I feel like she's done a great job of not being the typical pop star, which kind of falls in line with what we've been talking about of like knowing how to be flexible, knowing how to move, knowing how to like become more than just a song. I think she kind of kills it in that respect. I'm also a big Lana Del Rey fan. I think that she does a great job of kind of staying in her lane and staying with her sound, but evolving really well and taking the subject matter that's, you know, timely and happening right now without kind of, you know, alienating her audience, because she still keeps that same sound and she still kind of makes it soulful and interesting. And from her first album to her latest album, you know, it's cohesive, but it's, you know, it's evolving. It's great. I've been listening to Lizzo. I interviewed her like 2 years ago and she was such a small artist. And now she's like an amazing Grammy award winning, like a I'm already speaking that into existence.
Nice.
Grammy nominated artist.
She'll win. She's got to win.
I think she deserves it. Oh yeah. My gosh. She's definitely going to win. Because she also, and we had this conversation when I interviewed her, like she felt like she wasn't getting co-signs from people. People didn't know where to put her. Like she wasn't hip hop enough. She wasn't pop enough. Like she couldn't fit in a nice neat box and people didn't know what to do with her. And she didn't decide like, okay, well, I guess I'll just become X, Y, or Z. Like she just kept doing what she was doing. Like, you know, she's getting accolades for songs that she'd released way before people knew who she was. So you know, it just speaks so much to like kind of continuing to do what you believe in and pushing forward with your sound if you believe in it. Like, I just think that that's kind of, it's really powerful to think about music that way. So yeah, that's what I've been listening to. There's a band called Caption the Bottom and that I think is such a great live band. And I'm such a big proponent of like live rock music. It's interesting because I think that as a culture, like we really have been leaning into like bigger conversations around like meme culture and what goes viral and, you know, what people really believe politically or what they're doing romantically. And it's kind of nice to just be like, I don't know anything other than the fact that I love how this band sounds live and I can enjoy it. So music as escapism, I could be pro that on some level, especially when it's done well. And like Grimes recently said that she thinks that live music is going to become obsolete. So when I hear like a great live band, like to me, like that makes me excited. That makes me happy.
What was
so,
that?
Yeah, I'm kind of all over the place in my listening, but.
No, that's great.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, what was the last live, last concert you've been to?
I went to Riptide Festival in Florida last week.
Oh.
And I got to see my favorite band, The Killers, and they were fantastic. Again, great live band, great live rock band. Just, I just feel like, with, for me, like live music, I can listen to music all day, but if you can perform well and you don't need a lot to do that, like you can just get on stage and get the crowd excited with like from the start of a song. I think that that's to me, like that's how music should be.
Awesome. Do you remember what your first concert was?
That's a great question. Honestly, do I remember? I used to go to really weird concerts in college. I grew up in a small town, so we'd have a lot of artists coming to see us in Beaufort, South Carolina. and then I went to college in Statesboro, Georgia. So we'd have bands like Dashboard Confessional or OAR coming. I will say that the first time I saw a band and I was like, I absolutely love that, was when I went to go see a band called Group Love.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I'd listened to all their songs, so I knew all the words. And it was the first time that I'd just like come in and be like, oh, I want to see this band because I really like their album. And to just like be in front of them and sing all these songs with them, I was like, I cannot compare this feeling to anything else. And I would like to feel this way as often as possible.
Yeah.
So that was like my first, I would say that was like my first concert experience.
And they're they're quite anthemic. Yeah. Like their music is meant like it's easy to be a part of it and feel like there's not such a disconnect between you and them. It's easy to feel very communal. So that's awesome.
Exactly. Like that's my go-to sweet spot. I'm like, I want to feel like I'm kind of on stage. Like I know I'm not, but like, I want to feel like I am, like I'm with you. You're with me on this. Like we can sing this together. That's usually my favorite music experience.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I'm really excited about all of the, you know, the progress you've made in your career and what you stand for in music. And I think that's incredible. So I'm glad that you're out there.
Thank you. I wanted to hear from you. You mentioned that you love talking about music. What are some of your favorite albums of the year?
Oh, gosh. So I actually found myself in sort of a crossroads in 2019. I got really burnt out on music because I worked at a label and it was wonderful to meet so many people, but it just sort of took the fun out of music for me. So I, this year, have not listened to a ton of music. I had like a like PTSD thing, and I never thought that would ever happen to me. I have spent too much money on records. I've spent too much money on concert tickets. I used to interview bands and write about music, and very similar to your story, but from, you know, my lens, and I really loved it. And then I worked too close to Santa's workshop.
Too close to it.
So I've listened to a lot of podcasts this year.
Yeah. Let's have podcasts.
I've listened to a lot of podcasts. I've gotten too involved in our political climate. I'm too aware of everything.
It's easy to do.
Yes. But in general, when I think about music that I feel like served me in a way that I didn't know that I needed it, and it might sound really corny because the Grammys gave her a bunch of awards, but I really loved Golden Hour by Kacey Musgraves. And I am
great
not,
album.
I'm not
great
a country
album.
Person. I grew up loving Jimmy Eat World and Paramore, and I went to a bajillion Dashboard shows when I was a kid. But there's something about Golden Hour that just sonically hit me. I love the stories that she was telling. I love how she talks about love. And I know that technically isn't this year, but that's the last album that I was like obsessed with and listened to over and over, and watched all the videos and interviews and just really like nerded out on understanding this album and what it meant to her and really put myself in it. So this year I've stepped away a little bit, I guess, but I'm ready for 2020.
Yeah. So. I do love that. I love when someone can like reach to you like outside of the genre you typically listen to, because I think it says a lot about what that music is like at its core. I wanted to say about Jimmy Eat World, I interviewed Jim from Jimmy Eat World this past weekend.
Oh yeah, because they have that new record out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I told him that, we're talking about In the Middle, of course, because I was like, I have to say something about this song. And I told him that, all of my passwords have In the Middle lyrics in them if he ever wanted to hack me, because I was so obsessed with that song growing up that it was like all I listened to all the time.
It's but, yeah, so timeless.
Also a big Jimmy. It's so timeless.
Yeah.
And he mentioned that too, even like having this album come out almost like 3 decades later, that playing In the Middle, like, it still means what it meant in the beginning. And I think that's just wild.
I think that song and the messaging, and when it comes into your life, whether, you know, hopefully someday I'll get to be a mom and have kids and pass down albums.
Yeah.
They'll get Bleed American and I'll say, here you go, kid. And I hope that they come and say, gosh, that middle song really spoke to me. I'm like really hoping for that moment.
And you're like, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
The same way my dad feels about handing me a Neil Young album, I'll feel about giving my kids Jimmy Eat World. Amazing.
Pay it forward.
Yes. Do you have time for a small game?
I would love to play a small game.
Okay. So this game is called Overshare. The last interview I just did, she nailed it. She was like, oh, so we're on a first date. Basically, I've got a bag filled with conversation starter questions. Some are silly, some are creative, some are more poignant.
Okay.
And it's for both of us to kind of share and talk and get to know each other a little bit better. So I'm going to reach into this bag.
Sounds good.
It's got a lot of questions in it. And I'm going to pull out 3 slips of paper. I'll read all 3 to you and you can let me know where you'd like to start.
Okay, cool.
The first question is, how do you get rid of stress? The third one is, how do you stay inspired?
Cool.
And the third one is, what song always puts you in a good mood, which is perfect for you?
Yeah, sweet.
So which one do you want to tackle first?
Which one should I start with? I can start with the easiest one.
Okay.
I would say, I believe, I'm trying to think, the best mood. Best mood song. I have a lot of songs for lots of different moods. The song Houdini by Foster the People. Like, if I'm ever stressed about working and I'm just like, that refrain of like, focus on your ability gets me every time. I'm like, I got this. I can make it happen. And I feel like I'm going to say this wrong, which kind of ruins the question because I've been writing these decade lists and I'm going to mix it up. But I think it's Shake It Out by Florence and the Machine, not Shake It Off, Shake It Out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is my like dance in the kitchen. Anything is possible. Life is, I'm in control of it. Theme song.
Yeah.
So
those are great.
Sorry to give you 2, but those are like my anthemic, like I can do anything song.
Yeah. Oh, we're very loose here with the rules. Don't worry about it. The first song that came to mind for me for this one is Ain't It Fun by Paramore. And it's so cheesy. If we were really good friends,
so good,
you'd
though.
Be like, oh, Sarah, get over Paramore. Like, let's grow up. But I just love that song. I love the choir that comes in. I love how it starts. I love how, like, sarcastic it is. Like, ain't it fun? Like, it's hard out there. But, like, we can do our best to deal with it. So that one is probably one that I listen to when I just, like, need to get out of a bad mood. I always sing along. Her voice is, like, my favorite voice.
What a voice.
Yeah. Oof. I hope they come back real soon. What do you do to get rid of stress?
I meditate, and I mean like I sound bath meditate. I go to a yoga class here in New York on Bowery called Womb Center, and I do a 90-minute yoga class followed by an hour sound meditation, and that is how I get through stress. And it is a very much like I have to get out of my house and I have to sign up for a class and I have to go lay down in a room with people playing music over me. And that might not seem like the easiest thing to do, but it works every time. And I've just learned that about myself. Like I have to shut off. I have to like disassociate. Like I call it like pushing matter against matter. I can't fix problems by just like going over them over and over again. Like I have to step back and I have to get really quiet and I have to like let myself breathe. Because if not, I wouldn't be able to, I would like not be functioning. I'm going to be completely honest. That is how I get rid of stress.
Right. I need to be away from my phone. I practice yoga as well. And it's so nice to be away from your phone because they're not even allowed in the room. So it's not even an option.
Yeah.
Just breathing, being in your body.
Yeah.
I'm not
like
a great
closing my laptop.
Yes. Closing your laptop, get away from technology.
Right.
I've tried meditation and it's very difficult. So I need to put some more time into my practice, but I've never tried the sound bath stuff.
Yeah. The sound bath's good because it's like you might want to think, but you can't really. Mm. It was hard for me at first. I didn't know what it meant. I was like, okay, you want me to like not think? Cool. But it's a weird situation where it's like, if you're thinking about not thinking, then you're thinking. So it's this layer of just like shutting completely off. And it's hard to put it into words unless you do it. But I think sound meditation is like a easier access point.
Yeah. I got to try it. I mean, I'm sure in LA there's 5,000 places that offer that. So it'd probably be easy.
Oh yeah. You're in LA. There's a place next door to you and you should just go there because it's right there and they're waiting.
Perfect. Yeah. And the last one was, how do you stay inspired?
Oh my goodness. That is such a great question. That's a good question too, because I think sometimes you do feel like uninspired. Mm-hmm. I try not to silo myself by only reading what's on my site and reading the work of the people I'm editing and reading other people's articles. I'm lucky enough to know a lot of other writers in New York who are fantastic and whose writing I like to read. I like going to see bands and it's part of my job, so that's convenient. I think I get inspired by like remembering why I'm doing this. I have this thing where I'll get like really tied up with work and I forget like you wanted this because you wanted to have fun. And of course not everything's going to be fun, but remembering that I genuinely enjoy music, like I genuinely enjoy it and it doesn't have to just be like a means to an end. That's always good. Like going to a show and not reviewing it, that's inspiring. I get inspired by lots of things. I get inspired by movies. I get inspired. I love boots. I love buying fun David Bowie-esque boots. That inspires me. I just, you know, being surrounded by art and people that appreciate art in a way where they know that it's like nurturing as opposed to just something aesthetic that they look at or something that they listen to, that it's like something that's actually giving them life back. Mm. Being around those people that can look at you and go like, oh no, you're not crazy. Like we need this. I think that's inspiring. Just watching how other people live and being in New York. I used to come here and visit and I would leave and I'd have like three pitches or I would like write like a really great story and I'd hate leaving. Cause I'm like, oh, I was so inspired. And now I'm like here all the time. So I can kind of pick that up, like just like by walking down the street or by like hearing something or dipping into a bar and hearing a band that I don't even know the name of, you know, like it's kind of a rich place to pick up on inspiration.
Yeah. I think anyone's environment, if you work in a creative field, you should probably live somewhere that feeds your inspiration and keeps you motivated and going. So if someone's not motivated or not inspired, maybe change your environment, whether it's even your room.
Yeah, like that's
you
a big one.
Put up some pictures of something that inspires you or change your daily routine. 'Cause New York is, you know, you're swimming in it. But I can imagine.
This great quote from, what's her name? There's a book called If You Have to Cry, Go Outside. Mm. And I read it in college and she talks about like, if you're sitting at the dinner table and you're like the most interesting person at the table, or if you're not inspired with the people around you, or you feel like no one around you like is getting it or is resonating with you, then you need to get up and go somewhere else.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And I know that everybody has the privilege of doing that, but if you do and you feel stagnant, I think the best thing to do is like figure out where you need to be to not feel that way.
Right. I find for me, like doing this and having these sorts of conversations with whether it's someone that I've met through working in Los Angeles or it's, you know, I got set up on a blind date like today, I find that I always walk away from these conversations feeling so inspired simply by listening to someone else's perspective. Like it always works. Always.
I think that that's my cheat. It's like me, like these interviews, right? Like I'm like, oh, I really want to, like, it's part of my job, but it gives me so much. Like I love knowing how people live and like how they like navigate their worlds and what they're passionate about, because you learn and you get to see different perspectives and it changes your worldview. So yeah, I think I totally agree with you. Conversation, like number one way of being inspired.
Absolutely. So the last little segment of every episode is called Asking for a Friend. We give advice. people write in.
Ooh.
It's not nice. As if I said, I got Erica on tomorrow. Send me questions. These are, you know, random questions. But I think you had mentioned that you travel quite a bit. So this might be in your wheelhouse. Somebody cool. was just asking for trips. I'm sorry. tips for planning a vacation. Do you have any advice about planning for a vacation? And let's assume that there's, you know, a budget. So we're not just going to, you know, fly off the rails. Like,
just do it. Just leave. Just get on a plane. No, I am real. Like I always talk to my friends about where they've been, where they like to go. Mm. I think getting the insider scoop of a place is always good. So if you know someone that lives there, go with that plan. Like Yelp reviews and tour like reviews on the internet are never going to be as great as like someone saying I was there and this is what I love doing. Like knowing someone that's there, and even if you go somewhere, like if you're going to like a resort, like talk to the people that work there. Like don't just make your plan based on like, oh, I saw that when you go to this place, you should do this tour and you should go horseback riding. Like ask the people that are actually there living there every day, because that's what you want to do. You want to get like immersed in their environment and, you know, not just eat what they serve the tourists, but like eat the traditional food and it cooks by the people that live there and know the place. So I think my best advice for planning a trip is like, do your research, but also like ask people that have been there, like talk to someone that was there for like a week or more and what they loved about it, what they didn't like about it. Cause they might've hated it, but it might still be your scene, you know, but getting ideas from people that have actually been there. I've been really lucky to be like when I first went to Paris, like I had friends that were like, hey, stay in La Marais, like stay in this area. You're going to love it. Cause I know you, I know what you would love. Or when I was moving to New York and some people were like, you should move to the East Village. You're going to love it. It's exactly your scene. And they were right. Because they know you, and if somebody knows you and you're close to them, then they're probably going to give you better advice than a TripAdvisor. So I'd say talk to the folks around you.
Oh, yeah. Because to your point, they know you, so they can kind of steer you in the right direction. What sort of vacation is ideal for you personally? Like, what do you like, a beach vacation? Do you like to be touristy and see all the sights?
I used to be very, because I grew up in Beaufort, South Carolina, which is on the coast, so I could just get to the beach whenever. And so for a while, I was very against beach vacations, and I was like, I'm going to go to Paris and just, like, walk around and, like, live like a local and, like, carry a baguette and, like, write in cafes while drinking espresso and Prosecco at, like, noon. But I went to Portugal last year with my friend who likes to travel, and she was like, we should go to Portugal. And I was like, sure, let's go. And we spent countless hours just like laying on the beach and then just walking and eating. And it was nice to really just like kind of do nothing but go with the flow and be in a beautiful place and take in somebody else's culture and other people's like the ways of life without feeling like I had like a itinerary of like, all right, we're going to a museum at 3:00. And then after the museum, we're going to dinner and we have a reservation and we better get there at this time. It was like nice to just like check out and relax on the beach. So I think I would say both. Like I like cities. I like a good itinerary. My brain works well that way, but I think there's something to be said for a good beach vacation.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to find the balance of doing that more often as well, because I think that there's something to be said for going on a vacation and not treating it like a work trip, which is something that I have to learn how to do, because there are a lot of music events that happen all over the world too. So it's like you go to a festival in Madrid and be at the festival for 3 days and not really leave the festival grounds, or you can like go see Madrid. So treating vacation like an actual vacation, that's my goal. So I would share that with other people. And if that means laying on the beach, then go for it.
I think that's all excellent advice and something I'm going to take with me, because I have a hard time.
Yeah.
You know,
it's hard to shut off.
Well, thank you so much. Is there anything else you want our listeners to know, where they can follow you, where they can read your articles, where they can keep up on everything you're doing?
Yeah. You can follow my articles on CampbellErica.com. I usually post everything there. I'm on Twitter. It's Erica Campbell, but the A in Campbell is an X. So that's the tricky part, but I'll be there talking about stuff I probably should be keeping to myself, but you know, that's what Twitter's for. But yeah, you can follow me there. I work at Consequences Sound like we talked. So visit consequencessound.net and look at our latest stories. If I'm not the person writing it, I'm more than likely someone that has edited it or has read it and is excited about sharing it. So that's always cool. So that's where you can find me on the internet.
Awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time to connect. It was really nice to talk to you and get to know you.
Yeah, anytime. That was great. I'd love to do it again. So
anytime you
want. I'll definitely be on the lookout for more conversations. Yeah.
Come back. We'd love to have you. Or we, when I say we, I mean me. It's just me. I don't know. My dog is the other person here.
We would love for you to come back.
We would love it. Moon and I
appreciate that.
She's a big fan. She's asleep on the couch right now. Okay.
Perfect.
Well, you have a great rest of your day. Thank you so much.
You too.
And talk soon.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.